Welcome, deep divers. So, have you ever found yourself sort of wrestling with that question when you're trying to connect? What really works? Is it the quick charm, the easy smile, or is it something, well, deeper, something with actual substance? It's a real tension, isn't it? This constant back and forth between playing it safe with surface stuff and really going for that meaningful connection. Today, we're diving into a really insightful piece. It's a blog post by Rob Van Linde, and the title is Great: The Frog, the Santa Hat, and the Fear of Too Much Substance. And honestly, that title, it's not just catchy, it's like a perfect little picture for a strategic problem lots of organizations run into. It's not just marketing fluff, it's really about how we choose to show our value. So our mission on this deep dive, to really unpack this tension, the pull of charm versus the often hidden power of deeper communication. We want to explore that fear, the thing that stops organizations, and maybe us too sometimes, from properly connecting. Why does going deep feel so, well, risky?
It's really interesting, isn't it? How something seemingly quite small, like a stuffed frog in a Santa hat, can actually tell you so much about a company's choices. I mean, this isn't just about one quirky social media campaign. It digs into fundamental questions like authenticity, what value a company really puts on its own insights, and honestly, the courage it takes for an organization to truly stand out these days. It's amazing how a small detail can reveal the whole underlying philosophy.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So, okay, let's get right into this image, the frog. Rob Van Linde talks about this previous job where the company's entire social media presence revolved around, well, a stuffed frog. Seriously, picture this. This plush toy, always there, always dressed up, Christmas hat, bunny costume for Easter, tiny little summer hat.
Wow, the literal face of the brand.
Exactly. Sounds kind of charming, I guess. Bound to get a like or two, right?
You think so? On the surface.
But Rob saw it differently. He felt it was a classic case of choosing that surface charm over, real valuable communication. It was cute. Okay, fine. But what was it saying? Was it building trust? Showing off what they actually knew? Delivering anything meaningful?
Probably not much beyond we're friendly.
Right. And his core belief, which he talks about really clearly, is that, yeah, communication should be entertaining. Nobody wants boring. But it also has to be professional, and this is key, meaningful. He was convinced they could connect with people properly without needing a mascot in fancy dress to do all the
And
talking.
that's not just his experience, is it? You see this echoed elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. What are your thoughts on how this connects to like broader industry trends?
Well, you've really hit on something there. If you zoom out, Rob's story points to a really common struggle. Lots of companies find it hard to balance being approachable with showing authority. That frog, it sort of represents wanting to be relatable, friendly, easy to like,
Yeah.
which is understandable. But the big question is, what happens when that becomes the main thing? Or even the only thing? What are the risks?
Yeah, what are the risks?
Well, the danger is ending up with communication that's like a mile wide and an inch deep. It might get likes, okay, but does it build loyalty? Does it show you actually know your stuff? It makes you wonder, what are companies really scared of when they lean so hard into the fluff? Is it, fear of putting off a big audience if they talk about complex things? Or maybe it's deeper, like a subconscious fear of being seen as too smart or too niche or just too much.
That's interesting. Like, they don't trust their own substance.
Sometimes, yeah, it can reveal a lack of confidence in what they actually offer deep down.
That point about internal confidence is really sharp. And, Rob didn't just sit back and observe this. He actually did something. He put a ton of effort into proposing a different way. He started creating content that went beyond just being cute, stuff with real insights. He mentions writing this detailed piece about the culture behind Scrum. The agile framework, which is a pretty specific professional topic.
Right, not exactly frog in a hat territory.
Not at all. He was totally confident that giving people valuable, thought-provoking stuff would showcase their expertise and build much stronger, more real connections. It seems logical, right? A natural next step.
It does. So what happened?
Well, then came the wake-up call, as he puts it. The feedback he got wasn't just negative, it was kind of a shock. His article, the one he'd poured research into, was basically dismissed, called too esoteric and potentially unprofessional.
Unprofessional. For sharing expertise. Wow.
I know. And to make it worse, shedding light on the company culture, this feedback didn't even come to him directly. It came via a colleague, like a messenger for the CEO. It wasn't a discussion, it was just a verdict handed down.
Oof, that feedback too esoteric, unprofessional. It really says a lot, doesn't it?
It does. What do you read into those specific words?
Well, it suggests the company was worried. worried their audience would find deeper stuff too, I don't know, academic, or maybe too niche. Perhaps they thought it clashed with their Friendly Frog brand image, rather than seeing it as a sign of actual expertise.
Yeah.
Maybe they genuinely thought the audience just wanted the frog, or couldn't handle more.
A low opinion of their own audience, maybe?
Could be, and the way the feedback was delivered, indirectly, that screams volumes about the internal culture.
Yeah, how so?
It points towards an environment where maybe open discussion isn't really welcome, where new ideas, especially ones that challenge the easy way, get shut down instead of explored. This whole fear of too much thing can seriously hold a company back. It stops them from standing out, from being different. They just blend into the background.
So they stay safe, but invisible.
Exactly. The real value of substance isn't just getting likes.
Mm-hmm.
It's building that rock-solid loyalty when your audience sees you as someone they can learn from, rely on.
Yeah.
Not just another brand shouting online.
It sounds like a real clash of values for Rob. And getting that feedback, especially in that way, that was it for him, the breaking point.
It's understandably.
It was that moment of clarity, you know, when he realized he just had to work somewhere that valued substance, that encouraged open debate, instead of a place that squashed good ideas because they felt uncomfortable or unfamiliar.
It's a tough realization, but an important one. When your values just don't align with the place you work.
Yeah. And this whole experience really cemented his belief. Real change, real transformation. It doesn't come from playing it safe, not from sticking with the cute frog. It's built on having the guts to communicate authentically, to put your real knowledge out there, even if it feels a bit riskier at first.
And what's so interesting there is the paradox, right? Mm-hmm. Holding back because you're afraid of being too much, too smart, too real, whatever.
Yeah.
It actually stops real change from happening.
How so?
It creates this empty space where genuine connection should be. Instead of actually transforming anything, you just end up swapping one superficial thing for another. Maybe a slicker marketing campaign, but still shallow underneath.
So you're not really moving the needle.
Exactly. You're not evolving the conversation or your relationship with your audience. You're just changing the decorations.
Yeah.
Rob's view really nails it. That frog, yeah, it was cute, maybe endearing for a second. But it couldn't tell the company's actual story.
Right.
It couldn't communicate the mission, the values, the deep knowledge they presumably had.
Yeah.
And it definitely couldn't connect on that human, intellectual level that builds lasting trust. The cute picture might catch the eye.
But the substance keeps them there.
Precisely.
Okay, that makes total sense. So if a company does want to make that shift away from just charm towards real substance, what's the path forward based on Rob's experience and what we see working? What does embracing the esoteric, as they called it, actually look like day to day?
Ah, the million-dollar question. Rob's conclusion, and I think spot on, is that success isn't about running away from the complex stuff, the esoteric. It's about bravely embracing it. But then, and this is crucial, making it accessible.
Okay.
There's a huge strategic upside to creating deeper content. It's not just showing off how smart you are. It's about building this unshakable foundation of trust.
Mm-hmm.
When you share your best insights, you become a thought leader. People see you as a go-to resource, not just another vendor.
Can you think of examples, companies that do this well?
Sure. Think about, say, many B2B tech companies. They often publish really detailed white papers, technical guides, in-depth case studies. They don't shy away from the complex stuff.
Right.
Or maybe a science podcast that tackles really complicated theories but uses great analogies, clear explanations, tells a story around the research. They embrace the depth, but they're masters at making it understandable and engaging.
So it's depth plus clarity.
Exactly. It's about having the courage to trust your audience with your real expertise and then having the skill to guide them through it effectively.
But what about that fear? The fear of alienating people if you suddenly get more technical or complex? Or just the challenge of making deep topics easy to grasp without dumbing them down.
Those are absolutely real challenges, and that's where the skill comes in. It's not about just dumping jargon on people. It's about understanding your audience isn't one single block. Some people will want the quick summary. Others will crave the nitty-gritty details.
So cater to both.
A good strategy does. Maybe you offer different ways in. A detailed report could have a short, snappy executive summary. Or an infographic. Or a video explaining the key points.
Options.
Right. Structure the deep stuff so it invites people in, rather than feeling like a brick wall of text. The companies that really succeed are brave enough to have those substantial conversations. And they're smart enough to package them engagingly. They trust their audience wants more than just the frog in the hat. And what they get back is a truly loyal, engaged community.
Wow. What a journey, eh? From a simple stuffed toy to this really deep insight about how organizations talk to the world, we've really unpacked a key takeaway today, haven't we? That stark difference between the easy charm of the frog, the Santa hat, and the absolute need for authentic, meaningful, substance-driven communication. Rob Ben Linda's story, going from that frustration to such clarity about substance, it's a really valuable lesson, I think. It just reminds you that real transformation, whether it's a whole company strategy or just how you personally share what you know, it takes courage. The courage to be real, to go deep, and to actually trust that what you have to say has value, even if some people might initially think it's too much for the way things usually are.
And that leads perfectly to a final thought, something for you, our listeners, to maybe chew on. In your own world, personally or professionally, where might you be holding back? Where are you afraid of being too much? Maybe too professional, too nerdy, too honest, too real? What connections, what insights, what potential transformations might you be missing out on because you're playing it safe? Because you're putting a metaphorical Santa hat on your own best ideas instead of embracing the esoteric, your own unique substance in how you communicate? Just think about what ripple effect that kind of courage could actually create.